You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is episode 180 of the IT in the D show, and we're broadcasting here live, Podcast Detroit. We have a phenomenal full house here tonight. We have in segment two, Andre Arbeles, who's the CEO of Hi-Tech. Just got back from DC and Cancun, has a lot of great stories about.
And boy, are his arms tied.
Hey! And then segment three, we're joined by none other than Mark Pants, Jim Boella from the Mustard and Onions podcast. We're going to be talking about Marvin's Museum. If you don't know the story, it's going to be an interesting one. Also in studio, Jeremiah, Dr. Hook from Daily Detroit, Matt Thompson from CBI. Should be a fun show. And Nuri, that's your cue.
Oh, there's a cue for me here. Today's episode is brought to you by Fellows Shredders. Now, you may think that all shredders are created equal, but only Fellows are built for durability and maximum performance, so they get the job done every single time. Plus, with features like 100% jam-proof system and silent shred, Fellows Shredders are at the forefront of technology. To learn more about the world's toughest shredders, visit Fellows, FELLOWES.com.
Dave, you may fire when ready.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom, and what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
It's I Love the 80s, and this is 1980.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything
but
that! No!
I used to hang out at the Mugumbu Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
So I got that going.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly. Come on.
Someone try. Get the hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
What is that?
This is Tweaky.
So yeah, you have no boots.
No.
You have no gloves.
No.
You have no hat.
No.
You have no scarf.
No.
You have no scraper.
No.
How long have you lived in Michigan?
All my life.
You, sir, are an idiot.
I don't care.
Discover Atari.
Atari.
And discover how far you can go.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Bring me the boar.
No! Not the ball worm!
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie, and you're listening to IT in the D.
Yes, Sensei!
Are we at a break yet?
Impetuous boy!
Oh, well, who wants to live forever?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd. And I'm pretty proud of it.
I'd like to talk to you about the Sony Betamax and an incredible feature called Betascan.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
Good evening, I'm John Davidson.
I'm Kathy Lee Crosby.
I'm Fran Tarkin.
On tonight's edition of...
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big.
How big?
It's way too big.
I can get it all the way in.
Size matters not.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get late.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
Such a
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Mugumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Ladies and gentlemen, here to count down this week's top 10, the Solid Gold Dancers.
Hey folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
We are in the 80s once again. My social media feed is a giant toilet. And this is the IT in the D Show. This is episode 180, and we are broadcasting here live in Studio One, Podcast Detroit, in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itinthed.com. Subscribe to our podcast on the Apples or the Androids, and anywhere fine podcasts are sold.
Indeed.
And follow us on social, Facebook/ITD. And thank you to Randy and Ian for filling up our Twitters. Shoot us a tweet at or hashtag or both IT whatever. And the D. And whatever you like.
Randy will answer it or what, yeah. Ian will answer it.
He'll tell
it,
which one.
We're not looking.
But I think totally use a social. You can tell by his use of the terms.
I have totally, yeah.
So the Twitters.
The Twitters. We had a full house here tonight. We have an awesome guest lineup. Segment two, as we said.
Although we lost one.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. Segment two, Andre Arbeles is here, the CEO of High Tech. Just got back from Washington, D.C. He's got a lot of insight into the IT space as we enter 2017. Also, Jim and Mark from the Mustard and Onions podcast here. We're going to be talking about Marvin's Mechanical Museum and a whole bunch and their podcast and a whole bunch of other fun stuff. And we're live. This is fun. But hey, last week we had an awesome event. It was the first time ever being at Nancy Whiskey's, and I just want to give them a shout out.
Could not have gone any better. So many different levels.
If you've never been there, it's in Corktown. It's behind the old Tiger Stadium, and it's someone's house, and it's the oldest liquor license in the city of Detroit, and it's just there's a phone booth in there, like you could actually sit in the phone booth. There's no phone
that apparently Hoffa used to use when he was like making his phone calls and handling his business and that kind of stuff. So a little bit of history.
No, it's my kind of bar, and it reminded me of drinking with my uncles and my grandfather when you saw the liquor cabinet, and that's fine and dandy, but they would get all excited after a couple of shots and they'd bring out the really good bottle from like underneath the bed.
Yeah, you know it's a good night when the owner looks you square in the eye and said, all right, you boys just stay right here for a second. Walks back into a back room, comes back with an amazing bottle of whiskey, and then wouldn't stop pouring them for us.
But hey, keep up on our calendar, meetup.com/ITND. We're going to be in Royal Oak next month. We'll give you more details as that comes about.
Yeah, on February 16th. And then we did shuffle a few other events around because we're going back to Nancy Whiskey a couple more times this year. I mean, we had such a great reaction from everybody that walked in and said, hey, I kept hearing about this place. I never made it down. Thank you for getting me here. Couldn't have asked for a better reaction.
And there's other certain bars in town that just aren't happy with getting 50, 80, 120 geeks showing up and drinking.
Right. Apparently that's not good enough for them anymore.
Because they got them corporate dollars.
See ya!
They got them corporate dollars.
Good luck on your Thursday nights that we always noticed there was never anybody else there.
It's all right.
But no, it's cool. Totally. Speaking of no one else there, we are down a set of guests tonight, as we mentioned. We found out via phone at around what, 5:30, 6 o'clock tonight?
Yeah.
That Iron Yard Detroit, you fall down, go boom.
Yeah. Grand opening, grand closing.
It is no more. See ya. So that's.
And on the foot of that, we are going to announce, we got a nice email today from the MEDC, from the state of Michigan, that we are launching the IT and the D Career Academy.
We've literally been talking about this now
for a year and a half.
Thinly veiled terms for 13 months now.
Yeah. But they got View Pearson certified.
They got a certification center up and running.
They have all the people. So we're going to be launching the IT and the D Career Academy in Flint. We're going to get people A+, Net Plus, Security Plus certified, and we're going to start to put the bat signal out for recruiters to put people in help desk gigs, get them started in IT, get people working, and keep them here in Michigan. And we're I'll stick a feather in my hat for that one.
When, when you're getting training, you got to kind of think about who's giving it to you and what their motivations are, right? So, I mean, look at what we're doing and then look at something like a shop that sets up and then closes down in 1 year. And then you go Googling and you find out that they've done this in more than one location, like Little Rock, for instance. Iron Yard opened. 1 year later, they weren't making the numbers they needed and they closed again, right? So think about where you're getting travel, where you're training from.
What happens to all those placement guarantees that they hand out?
We'll put you in jobs for the rest of your career. Life. Yeah.
So this is going to be a no-cost thing. I think it's just a commitment. State of Michigan's covering it.
They're setting up the computer. Well, I mean, and it is. I mean, it's an extension of something we've been talking about for about a year and a half now, which is the Career Academy site. You know, it's vip.careeracademy.com/IT&D. It's $29 a year, all you can eat to get the training. It's 1,100 and some odd courses.
Ton of training.
CISSP you can get.
Well,
the curriculum.
And then you had to go, you know, you get all the materials and you had to figure out how to do the cert.
Yep.
This now with this training facility or the certification facility includes the actual certification. So, yeah, I mean, just an outstanding thing. We're so happy to have this done finally. I mean, it's been, yeah, like I said, about 13, 14 months we've been trying to get this up and running. So we're very, very happy it's all finally coming to fruition.
Can you cue the Godfather music, Dave?
Can we? If you would have warned me about it, yeah.
I should have warned you about it.
Let's see. You mean, just talk about something else for one second.
No, I'm going to start. And my social media feed, you know, and I keep up with the socials. I enjoy to see my friends' kids' pictures and their alcohol pictures and pictures of the sunset and when the leaves fall and your outlooks on life and your little jokes and occasionally your memes. I like memes.
Dave, do you like it when I post food pictures?
I love your food pictures, Mark. Oh, and I'm Bob, by the way. Oh. You can't tell us apart, I know. But the social, like, we always talked about pre-election that your political rants and posts do nothing. I wrote Political Pundit Guy, Don't Be That Guy, probably a year ago, foreseeing this, right? I had the Jedi sense. And what I'm getting right now is a bucket of toilet at every turn. And I do not want to be the guy that says I unfriended half my friends because I enjoy difference of opinions and I enjoy conversing with people that do not think like me. I think it's healthy and I welcome it in my life. But what I'm seeing right now is you're better off taking a picture of your morning grumpy and posting it across all your platforms, Twittering yourself on everything you own. Instagrams, you can do the special filter so you can bring out the true color of your morning crap. Right. But this is really all I am seeing and it does no good. And you alienate. I talked to someone today, not mention any names. Their entire family is divided over this crap. And why? We're all going to be fine. Put down your keyboard. You are everything that is wrong with the internet today, to quote my friend Dave. And just be done with, just enough. We get it.
It's a little late, but sorry. It's
about a 10-year-old.
No, it's not okay.
I agree.
It's not okay to talk about anything anymore. Can I talk about cheese? Will that offend anyone?
You're offending the lactose intolerant crowd.
Yeah, lactose intolerant are going to be mad at me now.
I
think the true vegans don't like cheese, right?
They have that diet cheese, and that's just terrible.
It's not cheese.
They have cheese-like product. We've talked about that before. Yeah.
It makes me want to go diet.
But in all honesty, like, if you're a for, against, or a middle, what do you gain? It's stating to gain or lose by
you never changed anybody's opinion with a bumper sticker?
No.
Or a Facebook post?
No.
At all? Ever.
I did get lots of laughs out of that butt stuff bumper sticker from Randy, though. Got a lot of laughs out of it, at least.
No, that's at least a positive change. So, but I forget, have we announced yet that we're launching the after party for the 2020
election
cycle? We
have to at this point. Everything's, it's not the, we're not Republican, we're not independent, we are the after party.
No, we're the after party.
That's titles, though. I don't want to be like a vice president or anything,
we have to run for offices.
We got to get frat titles.
From now on, your Delta Tau Chi name is Flounder.
Yes.
Why Flounder? Why not?
Exactly. That's what, because it can't be anything other than frat party names. But no, but in all seriousness, we get it. I think everyone gets it. We all get it.
And it's but it's not slowing down. It's not ending anytime soon. You've got, I mean, like the battle lines have been drawn. So I mean, even something as simple as a photo with someone looking at someone else a certain way and not a certain way that they're perceived they should be looking is micro analyzed, and it's Twittered and it's Facebooked and it's all the things, all the, and it just mm-hmm. just stop.
Let's take a moment to plug my favorite Facebook extension called Fluff Busting Purity, FBP. Basically can configure a list of phrases you don't want to see on your feed, and it will just not show them anymore.
So it's nonpartisan.
It's not you control.
You input the words.
I have like 25 or 30 phrases in that, and basically my feed is nothing but babies and puppies, and no one can argue against babies.
Because you hate
puppies.
Babies and puppies? Or no, that's what that translates to.
No, that's what's left.
That's the only thing left.
I see.
Babies, puppies, congratulations on your
so
job.
Much I really hate babies and puppies. So
the only thing that's,
I might use it differently.
The only thing that saved me today on social was our good old friend Star Wars. And they came out with a name for episode 8, and then everyone went yay.
That they've already used before. That was in the expanded universe. That right. They made non-canon so that they could use it again.
But it was
the book's already out there.
And it was in the crawl on 7.
But it's not the book.
And it was in the crawl on 7.
But it's the book. But it's not the book.
So you don't, you don't like The Last Jedi?
Well, what does it mean?
That's the beauty of it.
Is it one Jedi?
Well, plural is
the plural of Jedi.
Is Jedi.
Is Jedi.
It should have been called The Last Spoiler, because it almost felt to me like they were just killing Luke Skywalker. You know?
No. Well, they can't. They don't have Leia moving forward now, so they've got
CGI. Absolutely. You can have a CGI.
Not to do that. Well, you know, money.
You're not going
to
do that. Yeah. Can I just watch? Yeah, exactly. Can I just watch a damn movie? You know.
Well, she's the only one that actually signed away her likeness rights. So they do have access to her to do that. They can't do that with Solo and the other characters because they didn't sign off on their likeness rights.
So Luke's not going to do that. If you strike me down, I'll become more powerful.
Powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Right,
no.
Right.
No.
You know they're going to because remember when Obi-Wan did it? Remember?
I told you. That's the formula. It's member berries. Remember? Let it bake. More member berries. Big character reveal. That's the formula from
remember?
Now on. Hey, before we dive off too far, I do want to mention, so in addition to our monthly events, we've also got a couple of cons and stuff that we're going to be coming at. We're going to be at the Great Lakes Comic Con at the end of February. We'll be hitting that, so check that out. We'll be out at, apparently we're going to be at the Detroit Music Awards, because nice. That's where we belong, is the Detroit Music Awards.
I'm going to rent a tux.
It's going to be phenomenal. That's on April 21st, and of course, we're going back to PenguinCon. At the end of April.
Yay.
I'm going to run a tux. It'll be the penguin.
It'll be the penguin, yeah. For the infamous, it's always Bob and I, it's our birthday weekend. And as soon as, like, literally the day I created the event for it, we got comments asking how we were going to outdo what we did last year. So apparently we set the bar as us.
I'll set up the bar.
We certainly set up the bar last year.
I think the PenguinCon Awards would reflect that you guys kind of set the bar last year.
We did. And then, of course, Motor City. We're all set and booked and going back for that one in May. And we're already kind of geeking about a few of the guests, and it should be fun.
Shannon Elizabeth was announced today. So, yeah.
Who still looks oddly the same.
Good.
Like, I think she might be a robot.
That's
I'm not going to lie.
If she's in Westworld, I'll totally date her. I don't care. So Nuri found this gem today about a script or they call it a robot lawyer to basically
– do not pay.
Yeah, which is my favorite thing I've read all week. And basically it submits
– A 20-year-old college student
right.
wrote a website that you go to it and you input certain – You know, it asks you questions.
And he was basically pissed off, right? Because I think he got a ticket. And yep. I mean, everyone's in that situation. They park somewhere. The signs are ambiguous. Nobody really knows what's going on.
So he goes to Stanford and he goes to San Francisco a lot and he got just a buttload of parking tickets.
Exactly. So he basically created this algorithm or something that generates letters just into the city. And they let him off. And so he brought this to the public. And apparently it's 65% successful or yep. 60%, which is actually more than actually hiring a paid traffic attorney to try to get you off.
That's amazing.
It's great.
So far, he has helped overturn 200,000 parking tickets
Holy
in
shit.
Three cities, just London, New York, and Seattle. He hasn't launched everywhere yet.
That's amazing.
200,000 parking tickets.
I think a lot of times just a letter to somebody on like legal stationery is enough to get people to stop
with
doing
a notary stamp and like all the like the wax like from a Maker's Mark bottle. You know,
hear that, lawyers? You're being replaced.
Right, exactly.
By a website.
Well, isn't that? You think they rewrite all that stuff every time they use a script and they add the keywords?
Well, and that's why they're being replaced because
Microsoft Word letters, find replace
exactly.
You know, are we going to talk about? I'll say the one thing I never even knew about it existed, but apparently, do you use DuckDuckGo at all?
I do. In fact, when you're on the dark web, like what I hear some of my friends occasionally do. There is, when you type something in, it doesn't go to Google. It goes to DuckDuckGo because Google basically funds themselves by having all of your data, all your searches, all that stuff. But DuckDuckGo collects none of that. It's completely anonymous.
So that's the whole thing. It's like the joke is delete my browser history using
DuckDuckGo. On my Medical Alert badge.
Right.
Yeah.
With DuckDuckGo, it doesn't keep it.
Yeah.
So they hit a milestone.
And not only do they not keep your data, they are transparent and expose their own data. Like, hey, here's everything we do. Here's everything. Here's how it all works. Here's how this all happens. Yeah.
But they hit a milestone, 14 million single searches in a single day, which puts them in a really short-listed category of, you know, Bing and Google and AltaVista. Is that still around?
Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves. Is it still around?
Oh, God. they did a survey and they said that 40% of people don't want their search engine to retain information about their activity. So basically, if you know everything you searched about, that basically your interests, what medical conditions you may have. I mean, it's some scary shit when you think about no one lies to their search engine. That's a phrase that
I have a plug-in for DuckDuckGo, but I mean, I don't use it for my casual searches. I use it for the, you know, Jenna Jameson searches. Like, I mean, I'll be honest, like
44-year-old porn stars.
Right. That data might be a little bit skewed.
I want anybody knowing that I looked up Jenna Jameson.
Exactly.
If you guys
want to. That data's a little aged.
Yeah. You know, it's city gas stations for that type of thing.
Right. So, you know, Excite and AltaVista might not be around, but Yahoo is still around because that sale has officially been put on hold.
Oh,
pending the investigations into all of the security breaches.
Someone said, you did what?
Yeah.
I saw a really interesting article today basically wondering if they may have intentionally covered up the details of the breach because
Until after it went through. Yep.
To be really interesting.
So, Dave, do you have $400 I can borrow by any chance?
Why are you looking to maybe have better communications in your own neighborhood?
Yeah. I'm thinking about building my own 1G network with my old Zach Morris phone that I have in the basement.
That's not a lot of G's, though.
I'll take a 1G. You know what? So
that's like a 0.2G.
Right.
Like, couldn't you get the same effect with like a $14.99 pair of walkie-talkies from Target?
Yeah, but it's way cooler if I can use a bag phone. So apparently there was a group called Hackaday, and they were at like a do-it-yourself conference and in D.C., and they basically said they can build a rudimentary GSM network for under $400, that it's a private, your own little, you know, whatever the range of the tower that's built. I think it's, a couple square miles, if that. Basically, so you can own your walkie talkies. Other people can listen to. This is your own private network.
Finally, something for those old ham radio towers.
See, do those still exist?
I've
got neighbors with some.
I was gonna say there used to be a ton of neighbors with those huge towers in their houses. I don't see them anymore.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Oak Park has some.
Yeah, especially if you go into those neighborhoods that are a little bit older. Maybe not the new construction.
See, that's my thing. They need to bring back, like, remember the 70s and 80s when they made long road trucking sexy with like BJ and the Bear and Smokey and the Bandit? And now it's not a fun job. And like ham radio operators, they need to make like a really cool like sitcom like with a long road trucking and ham radio and like bring back all these like
remake Pump Up the Volume.
Yes, totally.
That inspired me to run a pirate radio station when I was 19, so that was a thing.
What about Wolfman Jack?
10-4, Rubber Duck, we have a convoy.
But did you think about
some of the Nordic countries, I know one of them has just recently removed all the analog broadcast. They're totally digital now. I think it's Norway or something. I don't keep
track. AM radio officially died over there. There's no more AM
That's a shame.
Well, people think America's next.
I'm stunned it's still here.
AM radio's been on life support for the last 20 years.
I think we'd be moving even faster if there was more interest in that Spectrum auction that was just out, that's in the process. Yeah. To basically shift all the TV stations to another thing and open up that bandwidth for cellular providers and data providers. But there wasn't that much interest for that auction. So that might be a little bit of a stay. But AM radio's got a finite timeline.
Yeah. Well, PBS just recently did a thing where they have a 24/7 kids channel. Mm-hmm. They did their 56 locally, 0.2 is all kids all the time. So if you don't have a babysitter –
yep.
If you want, you can put on 56.2 and just, set it and forget.
Or, grab that pirated Facebook live feed of Tom and Jerry cartoons that runs 24/7.
Bob, I think you've given me an idea.
But they hurt themselves. Yeah.
You've given me an idea, though. I think I'm going to put some of these up in Corktown and Midtown and then walk around with my Motorola Dynatac.
See?
Sitting at like Great Lakes Coffee at like 9:30 talking on this thing, being hipster AF.
See? Dude, totally. Done. With your turntable with like the mega headphones.
Yeah. What we should do is rewire one of those old phones that has like the little earpiece you hold up and then like the other thing and walk around with this giant phone.
Oh yeah,
and it'll be the GSM phone on the inside.
So you have an AM station that's only played off of a mini disc recording.
Oh my god, mini disc.
So like you try and make it as hipster as possible. Oh.
Mini disc was the only format that managed to be digital and totally unreliable all at the same time.
It was amazing. I forgot the story I wanted to get into after the do not pay thing with the lawyers. Possibly the dumbest lawsuit that came out this week is the class action lawsuit that someone filed against Apple because Apple should be able to prohibit you from texting while you're driving.
Who did this lawsuit?
California.
Some dipshit in California.
What lawyer accepted it?
Probably somebody who advertises at 4 a.m. would be my guess.
Like, I don't know if this isn't how
somebody
technology
who's going to be
works.
Replaced by do not pay.
Right.
Which goes, question one, how do you know who's driving, Apple? How do you know
what
if
about all the people
I'm the driver or the passenger?
What about all the Uber drivers that use the map functionality?
Well, they're not it's texting only.
It's texting, SMS only.
Block texting.
So then I'll use WhatsApp.
Right.
But and then I'll use Facebook Messenger.
But it's even worse than this, though, because the class action suit wants basically California to stop selling all iPhones until it's resolved.
Until this is resolved.
Because I'm not going to use Android. Because that makes sense.
Yeah, it 17, doesn't have that functionality.
17% market share. Let's go after them.
But yeah, so that was the genius lawsuit of the week that I absolutely loved. Somebody's like, well, then you put an NFC chip in the driver's door and in proximity band. I'm like, so Apple's not making cars. So now how does that happen? And how do you figure that out? And what if I'm in my car and it's parked?
So can I eat a Big Mac with a wrapper in my eyes while I'm driving?
While smoking.
Right. And putting on your makeup, too. Putting on your makeup.
Totally put on my makeup.
The Revlon dashboard, absolutely.
Personally, I need an app that if I set down a fast food bag that's heavy enough to put the seatbelt tag on when I put it in the passenger seat. If I've
done,
alone,
I've done, I've done that before.
You know where I'm going, right?
Everyone else looking at
me. If I bought enough fast food to
it automatically
up,
drives you to the gym.
Yes, that's what I want. Now that's something that will help me out. This technology will not stop me, but that one might be good for me.
Can we talk about our favorite security expert this week?
That's where I was just going. God bless this guy. It's amazing.
So there is a computer security expert who had his laptop stolen this week.
Which sucks.
It happens a lot, right? Even if you do your due diligence and put things in the trunk or try to hide it, you still may get your car broken into. You still get your laptop stolen.
But you stole the wrong guy's laptop this time.
You kind of did. So basically he had remote monitoring.
Well, the dumbest person in the world stole this guy's laptop.
That too.
So we had remote software installed on his machine. I think a lot of IT professionals do, like I do with my family. Like, so if my grandmother calls me and is like, Nuri, it's doing something weird again, I can VNC into my grandmother's computer and fix things, right? So basically he saw his laptop popped up on the network and they were logged in. And what's the first place that this person goes to?
I believe it was Facebook, if I recall correctly. Yeah.
Yeah. She went to Facebook and logged into her account and then left her account open.
And then walked away.
And then walked away.
So this guy goes through all of her contacts, starts messaging everyone that's in her messages list, grabs every phone number he can find, grabs all of her information, all of her pictures, all of her everything, starts sending messages to everyone in her contacts list going, look, hey, here's the deal. This person is talking to you on a stolen laptop, and I'll give her one chance to go ahead and basically give it back to me before I rain hell.
And it's not even a big deal because laptops are, what, $400 these days anyway?
Principle.
Right. Totally.
Before I rain hell.
Shame publicly worth more than $400.
Oh, absolutely. So needless to say, he got his laptop back. She shut down not only her Facebook account, but all of her publicly listed phone numbers, her cell phone number, and has gone dark.
There was an interesting comment here, though, that said that what happens if this person was just some unwitting person who bought it from a pawn shop? Or off Craigslist.
Even then, you are still in possession of stolen property.
Right. True, yeah, but totally. I mean, if they come clean with it, I think people would be like, oh, okay, well, that sucks for
you. And
you
think instead of her deleting it, she admits guilt. She goes, hey, I bought it off Craigslist. Totally. Just a CYA moment.
Yeah.
Right? Obviously, she's not the sharpest
person on the planet.
Right. You'd make up some bullshit story to, like, absolve yourself.
Yeah.
And now you're ashamed, and now you're a national story. Because we're talking about it on the IT and the D show, and now everyone hears it.
I call shenanigans.
You're a pawn star at that point.
I call shenanigans because any self-respecting IT security professional, there's no way you'd be able to log into said IP or into the PC. It would be locked out with passwords and encrypted and all the way down with fingerprints and everything else. There's no way you'd be able to log
in. Even a basic login.
Because we don't know any plumber's houses who have leaky pipes.
Yeah.
Really, we don't. Really?
Not even my PC. Really? I mean, you'd have to do some at least some rudimentary hacking to get to the OS. This is either
whose PC doesn't have a screen lock?
And I've got full disk encryption on mine. You're not
this screams right. Honeypot all day long. Where this guy would left it at like a train station or something else to see what would happen.
Possible.
Because we don't know. I mean, there's it's like those security guys that we know.
Foreign video that was out a few weeks ago of that guy who like. Put his phone out there with some software, his Android phone, and then like follow this guy's life through it. And he did like a 12-minute documentary about it.
No, it's a stolen bike videos with a rope. Those are my new favorite hotness.
Yes.
I could watch those all day long. There should be a TV station.
I do. Well, they had the old stolen car, the trap car videos where they're like, they'd get
did
like
you see
a
the one
away.
Where the whole all the neighbors knew?
Oh, yeah.
So the guy's rolling down the street and he's all thinking, the neighbors are like, that thing's stolen. Get out. Like, oh my God. And he goes, I knew it was stolen. Like, why are you keep driving it?
I've seen the bike videos. After but about hey, three, you start to feel bad.
The dumb criminal, though, and this is like, this from the Have You No Shame department. So, ransomware hit the St. Louis library system. And they wanted, what was it, $35,000, $36,000, I think, to unlock it?
In Bitcoin.
What kind of a jackhole do you have to be
to hold up a library?
To hold a library hostage?
We're doing it to hospitals. That's the other thing, right? We talked about this several times.
Okay, but hospitals.
They're profit. They make money.
Big for-profit corporation. Yeah.
The data's valuable.
Who needs computers instead of the libraries? People that don't have access anywhere else.
So job applications.
Oh, yeah. That are looking up Jenna Jameson with their DuckDuckGo plugin enabled.
And so what are they doing instead of paying the ransom? They're scrapping their entire network and rebuilding it from scratch, which may take several weeks.
But good for them.
And at what cost, though? Probably
less than $36,000 would be my guess.
A bunch of kids missing internet access for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
They'll live. Speaking of internet access, we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to be back in segment two. Andre Arbeles, CEO and president of Hightech. This is the IT and the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. This is segment two, episode 180 of the number one podcast on technology podcast on SoundCloud this week, or we should be.
Who knows?
Except they changed their algorithm.
I'm mad
at them. It's all right, though. Thank you for listening. This is the one and only IT and the D show, broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itandthed.com.
All the things.
Exactly.
Hey, before we dive in with Andre, though, because I know that's where we're going, this segment is brought to you by HostGator. Entrepreneurs, it's time to claim your brand online. Whether you're a first-time blogger or an experienced web pro, HostGator has all the tools you need to create a website that's beautiful and powerful. From design and marketing services to intuitive website builders, HostGator is with you every step of the way. With hundreds of templates to choose from, HostGator lets you easily design a site that's perfectly customized to your audience. If you ever need a boost in hosting power, HostGator offers cloud, VPS, and dedicated server hosting that can easily handle maximum visitor traffic. If you need help, contact their 24/7 friendly live support anytime via live chat or email. Plus, you can kick off your advertising with a $100 credit on places like Google AdWords, Yahoo, and Bing. It has everything you need all in one place, all backed by 24/7 expert support. There's a 45-day money-back guarantee on top of that, so if you decide it's not for you, no problem. So see what HostGator can do for your website. Go to HostGator.com/ITinTheD to sign up, and right now our listeners are going to get 60% off. That's 60%. 60% off. Just go to HostGator.com/ITinTheD. And as always, we thank them for their support. We hope you're going to check them out.
For nothing but good things about them.
Yeah.
For 60% off, I think I'm moving my hosting. That's awesome.
That's a lot.
That is. We drink the Aftershock before it gets warm?
Yeah, absolutely.
Aftershock.
So Dave brought in a bottle of Aftershock, and I was regaling folks with stories when I was 17 and would break the bottle open to get the crystals out.
Sure.
Dude.
Yeah, good times.
Good times.
So we are joined. This is a third-time offender and fresh off of his Washington, D.C. tour. Andre Arbelez, the president and CEO of Hitech, is in the house. What's going on, Andre?
Crazy times, my friend. Crazy times.
It is crazy. What the heck's going on? You were in D.C. What the heck was that like?
It was a mixture because Wednesday, Thursday, Friday were all inaugurational events. And as you know, Saturday was the Women's March, which is pretty much on the opposite side of that extreme.
Hey, my aunt was there, actually. Yeah. She went with her daughter, my niece, yeah.
Yeah, so it is.
So you had one like crazy protest with 250 arrests and one zero arrests. Yeah. Like a nice one and a bad one.
Yeah, it was a little crazy. I mean, it was every street was closed. The massive police presence was there. And it, you know, it really, you know, put consequences on what the election did and what we're doing as a country, and we're trying to, from my role, trying to make sure from technology.
I would assume the Hispanic Information Technology Council is taking a close eye on
we've
things.
We've had a very close Oh, hold on. Let's do a shot first. I'm sorry.
Cheers.
It's not going to sound on the radio.
Cheers.
But
to a good year.
Well, welcome to 1980.
We are drinking our shot now.
Ah.
And now the politics.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, you thought politics left a bad taste in your mouth.
That tasted like the Reagan era.
Yeah, but to give you an idea, I work during the day. I'm a chief strategy officer for a Mexican IT firm. We had our strategy meetings in Cancun Sunday through Wednesday. And that was even because we're very closely watching what's happening with NAFTA, because we leverage that. We do a lot of IT solution work for some of the biggest companies in the United States, from Southwest Airlines, GE, Walmart, Anheuser-Busch, Staples, Burger King, Tim Hortons, blah, blah, blah. A lot of restaurant chains now,
right.
Brinker. And it is the importance of nearshoring and providing solutions into Mexico is a very popular model, even where the Indian companies are now heavily investing in Mexico.
Interesting.
So there, it's one of their ways because you can move employees back and forth without the H-1B visas.
Right.
So it provides a unique angle, the nearshoring model. And so, but even down there, trying to address what's happening here in the U.S., not only from a technology perspective, but in a political perspective is very challenging because there's not a lot of faith in the new administration. And my role is always try to work with both sides. I have some strong friends that are on one side and strong friends are on the other. And I've, you know, it's a difficult and what we're calling a super hypersensitive time.
Can you be proactive at all, or do you just have to simply be reactive?
No, you have to be proactive. You know, the attitude that I carry, and I think a lot of people that on my board and the membership is, you got to be involved. If you sit back, nothing's going to happen. You want to be at the table. I had the great fortune last Thursday. I had lunch with the outgoing CIO of the United States, Anthony Scott, who worked here at General Motors. He was CTO at General Motors. Yeah. And then
went on to become the CIO of Walt Disney Company, Microsoft, and then VMware thereafter. And even he expressed disappointment in the transition process. You know, I even called the office of the CIO today, and I just got an empty ring today. Which is a little scary.
Okay, they haven't even set up voicemail yet.
We're sorry. The number you're trying to reach.
No, I need to call the IT guy. Oh, wait.
So I know they're running slow. They had picked somebody, and then a female executive that worked for Microsoft and was actually the first CIO without the title under the Bush administration, but then that fell through. And even a good friend of mine who was the Chief Information Security Officer of the United States, Brigadier General Greg Tunehill, even just last week was told he would not be staying on when he thought he would be. So there's a lot of disarray.
So what is the – I'm just curious. I don't want to take this too long, but what does the CIO of the United States do?
Well, he's oversees an $80 billion federal budget. That's a B.
With
a B.
So he oversees IRS, all that, or
every single government department falls under
his
auspices. So he spends a lot of time with Congress getting money and providing, you know, there's a lot of work going on in cybersecurity, and then there's a lot of work going on to build talent within the government. They have a program that they're working on called Scholarships for Service, where if you commit to cyber, particularly in the area of cybersecurity, you commit to work for the government for 2 years, the government will pay for your college. So that's actually transitioning through into the – they're planning on transitioning that into the new administration. So from technology is such an important part of the United States government. Obviously, we've heard all the hacking issues. You know, when they raided the Chinese had raided the office of – was it
OMB?
OPM.
Yeah. OPM.
OPM, yeah, of Office Personnel Management, you know, stole those records. That was a huge issue that they woke up to. And so that there's a heavy emphasis on that. But it is – the next administration's got to step up to it. I look – in my organization, the Hispanic IT Executive Council, we have many cybersecurity executives. As a matter of fact, even a new organization has started specifically for – it's called the International Consortium of Minorities in Cybersecurity Professionals. And it's a growing community of technology executives focused in cybersecurity because of how big the market is. So it's important to be at the table, not be throwing, you know, grenades at the administration, but being engaged because it's still our country. So we've got to be a part of it.
And that was a conversation we had in the green room, and you were talking about how, you know, hey, you just put out a simple post, I think it was on Instagram, just said, hey, enjoyed my 8 years with the Obama administration, looking forward to working with Trump, and you got a little backlash. Like, how do you –
yet another way where it's a hypersensitive world right now.
Correct. Yeah. But, I mean, do you have to answer that or just keep moving along or I guess
no,
what's –
you got to – you know, I work for – I have a constituency, so I'm challenged by that in upholding, you know, the will of everybody, which is almost impossible.
Sure.
You know, there's right now what I call a lot of intellectual dishonesty in the aspect of a lot of people are driven by emotion, not necessarily by fact. You know, in the Hispanic community, everybody's freaking out about, oh, Trump's going to do this. But they don't realize the moment you say, well, you know, Obama deported 2.7 million Mexicans. He was known as a chief deporter. You know, then you
– wait, what?
That's a fact. And so – You try to work, you know, in reasonable terms. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow I'll be in San Francisco working with a lot of leaders that are, you know, not very supportive of the new administration. But you got to keep trying. And at least you got to say we got to give it a chance.
Well, you don't have to be a fanboy, but you at least have to work across the aisles, you know.
Yeah.
And if I may, online, everybody's equal. Everybody is – there's no ethnicity online. When you're online, you can create your own avatar. You know, you are not necessarily white
I mean, I'll be honest with you, we're pretty identifiable. You know, we wear our colors with pride. But in a way that we're proud to be American.
Sure.
You know, we do events where we will have singers come in and they don't sing, you know, La Bamba. They sing I'm an American by Lee Greenwood.
Yeah.
So that is one of the great things about the Hispanic community. We assimilate very well. We are very happy to be part of this community. You're never going to see you know, some terms that may be used in other communities against the United States. We are very pro being American. We love being here. We love the opportunity.
Right.
You know, we embrace it. We just want to see it be better. And sometimes, you know, there was the tolerance issue. And so, you know, we got to make it better. Unfortunately, when Trump did say the things about Mexicans and didn't clean it up well when he was talking about illegal immigrants, it created a problem for our community. Even though about 32% of us voted for on the Republican side. And that was a big challenge. But if you break down who the community is, we have two types. You know, you just can't say Hispanic and group them in one world. We have what we call South American Hispanics, and then you have Central American Hispanics. One's transactional, one's strategic.
Well, it's like saying differently. It's like saying white. You could be Russian, you could be Norwegian, you could be South African.
Absolutely.
It's a very broad brush.
It's a very broad brush, and you have to always have to be sensitive to that, but. One thing is common. We love to drink. We love to.
Cheers to that.
That's why we all get along the way we do.
We love drinking. You know, we love people. You know, we love to engage. And it goes back to the word assimilation. You know, we are, you know, very proud of that. And we work really hard. And we do events around the country. As a matter of fact, our next big event is in April in Dallas. I mean, just to give you an idea how wide-ranging that is, we're going to open it up at Dallas Cowboy headquarters, where we have Capital One. You know, they're calling us. We want to engage. We want to host.
Right.
We're doing it at J.C. And then we're doing the next 2 days at JCPenney headquarters. And, you know, we have corporations from Intel, Accenture, Toyota, GM, and JCPenney hosting. And then we're going to do a private, you know, final night. One of the executives of the home in BMW is going to sponsor it.
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, just adding to that, when you see who you're, I guess, rubbing elbows with, a lot of people would be shocked, like when you say, you know, Hispanic C-level IT leaders in this country, it's almost, I don't want to say it's a majority, but it's like from Cisco to Intel to on down. I mean, there are some major, major, major IT players that all have, you know, I guess expanded leadership within their C-level IT organizations.
Absolutely. I mean, it's an educated community. It's a growing community. You know, this Friday I'll be with the one of the top executives at Facebook, who's from Spain, Javier Olivan. His job is vice president of growth. So his job is to take it from.
Tell him to stop.
He's got one. I think what is it? 1.6 billion users. His job is the next billion. That's your job.
Enough.
Statement. The next billion.
Yeah. If you look at the employment, you know, unemployment rates, you know, they're 0% or less for IT security. And so when you look at transitioning from manufacturing and all these other kind of traditional entry-level jobs, they're moving IT security. You have to look at some of these other groups like minority groups to come in and backfill that. And because they have so much opportunity to, you know, you can go into a lot of different things when you go to college, but when you get into these single-track programs like you guys were talking about, IT and the D, these are the ways that we're going to fill these jobs that are so important in America. And that's exciting to see going from traditional manufacturing to IT security.
And it's super important to, you know, to train Americans to do these jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always talk about what innovation is the number one export the United States has. But the weapon behind that is the H-1B visas.
Yeah.
And that's not a great story. And I can tell you, when I stay at hotels in Silicon Valley, I walk out every morning for breakfast, and it's full of Chinese and Indians. And that's not to denigrate them at all. It's just to point out that it's not American.
Yeah.
And that narrative is what was important in this last political season. How are we taking care of our own? I think you heard that right in the stump speech of or in the inauguration speech,
yep.
America First. And, you know, that resonates with me. And I'm, you know, I was born and raised here in Michigan. And I want to see my community succeed. You know, when I say my community, my Michigan community.
Yeah.
So how does anyone get involved with high tech? Are you doing anything local? Is there volunteer opportunities? I guess what's a good step to get involved?
Yeah, we're working on doing a Detroit event. I'll give you a most recent example. The highest ranking executive at General Motors in charge of the connected vehicles is Hispanic. His name is Santiago Chamorro. And he's a senior vice president of the connected car for General Motors. Nobody knows that. Why? Because GM released a press release only in Spanish. As we say in Spanish, que pendejos. But
I don't speak Spanish, but I'm sure it's funny.
It's not good, Bob.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was really upsetting for me when I went to meet him, and I'm like, you know, this is a problem, you know, and that is something that, you know, here he is. He reports directly to Mary Barra. He oversees all the, you know, the connected vehicle technology.
Yeah, talking about the next 10 years of your company. Yeah.
Or the chief digital officer of Mercedes-Benz here, Rodolfo Dominguez. So you're seeing a lot of in the automotive community, you're seeing that change. And so that's why we've got now General Motors, BMW, Mercedes, and now Toyota coming on board. Because that technology that's even homegrown in Detroit, or the need for it, you know, is the number one thing we have to do. Because the number one thing that I get irritated by is when I fly to San Francisco, it's full of Detroit executives going to their new headquarters, and we're sourcing the technology out of Silicon Valley instead of Oakland County or wherever around here. We got to work harder at that. And I met today with the chairman of the Board of Trustees at Oakland University specifically to try to address this problem.
Are they doing a better job at CES? Like presenting these things?
That's another problem. You know, that is, you know, we're not using the Detroit Auto Show to highlight that. Now we are, everybody's got to be in Vegas the first week in January, and then they're back in Detroit for almost the same show. You know,
he said, everything we heard said that CES, like a huge chunk of that was automotive.
Yeah. In fact, opening night, they were like, I was in Vegas yesterday, and here I am today. And
in fact, even next week, next year, the auto show is shifting a week. Because of that, and there's a lot of talk about moving the auto show even into the spring in order to try to make it – there's a debate on both sides on whether or not that's a good idea.
And they say
that's
the chatter. But what I think that really is it's about innovation.
I mean, 5 years ago I would say like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, weather is something that would be great to show off Detroit in a nicer time of year. But exactly, it's really about that innovation. It's about being where the conversation happens. And we have to turn these into opportunities instead of just challenges, right? And get out front of the ball. That's one of the things for me. I sometimes get impatient with, you know, you listen to this podcast. Mm-hmm. I get impatient with leadership in our region for a reason. We need to take action. And I'm glad that there's folks like you taking action, getting involved to bring some of those jobs right here.
Well, it's a real simple statement, and it came from a Detroiter at the time, Lee Iacocca. You lead, you follow, or you get out of the way.
Yeah.
I choose to lead, and we've succeeded very much with a Hispanic IT Executive Council. And for more information, we have on our website, which is hitechglobal.org, and it's HITEC global.org. And reach out to us, you know, through that or Facebook. At the Hispanic IT Executive Council. You know, there's a lot of great leaders here in the Michigan area, a lot of great leaders around the country, let alone a lot of great leaders around the world.
And if you ask anyone on the street, they wouldn't know.
It's we're starting to get there. We're starting to make some serious noise. And that's why we've finally reached a point where corporations are calling us to get engaged. And so we're really proud of that. And we want to be, you know, where it goes back to, we're always engaged from D.C. to Washington, D.C., you know, from Miami to Seattle. We're, you know, my butt's on a plane constantly carrying the message. And I'm proud to be a Detroiter, proud to be an ambassador. And I say I'm always keeping it real from the 313. So.
And we're proud to have you on our show, Andre.
Thanks.
No, seriously, Andre, it's always a pleasure. We thank you for coming out. Safe travels to San Francisco tomorrow. And you're welcome back anytime.
Thanks.
All right. Andre Arbelez, High Tech. And we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Mark and Jim from the Mustard and Onions podcast. This is the IT and the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT and the D show.
ITandTheD.com.
Welcome back. This is segment 3, episode 180 of the one and only IT and the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio One Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy, always hanging out with Captain Soundboard, Dave the Geek, Nuri, the FNG. Find us online, itandthed.com.
Everywhere.
And do the Shatner style.
IT in the
D. Right. .com.
You say sabotage.
So we are joined by one of our newest shows, someone who I knew from way back when because you were the ring announcer at Squared Circle Review Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen.
See, the voice, if you recognize, that is the voice of Podcast Detroit.
He does. He has all the opening drops.
All the drops. We decided we'd bring them in. We have Mark Pants here and Jim Boella. They are the host of the Mustard and Onions podcast. And if you're not from Detroit, you know that it's the only thing you're allowed to put on a Coney dog.
Yeah.
Other than no chili? Of course, chili. But gentlemen, appreciate you coming out and hanging out.
We appreciate you letting us come out here and talk about
it. First of all, happy that you guys built this whole thing. This whole Podcast Detroit thing has been
don't amazing. Let us fool you. It's blind luck.
No, I want to be the
humble. I know these guys for a while. It's luck.
It is not luck. I want to be the humble one for a second. Jim has been in the radio and audio business for a while. Me, I'm just kind of a hanger on. And he knows quality, and he knows something that's happening when he sees it. And Jim has been. I mean, Jim, can you give the folks a little bit of your background?
I can thumbnail sketch it, I guess. I've spent nearly 30 years in the radio business. I'm a production guy. I work behind the scenes, audio production. I've worked at radio stations. I've also worked at recording studios. I do voice work.
And he looks like Joe Rogan's older brother. He totally does.
Hands down.
Older brother. That hurts.
You're like a year older. I don't know.
6 months. 6 months older. I've been knocking around in the audio game forever and a day, and I started our Mustard and Onions, our podcast. I started at my last job, which was at a recording studio out in Birmingham that unfortunately went under, and met Mark through a mutual friend, and he told me about you guys, and I went to the website, and I looked at this network, and I said, I had no idea this was going on in Detroit. And I thought, well,
neither do we.
Because I had
three shots in, no one remembers.
Right.
You know, I've heard some other podcasts, you know, that are done locally. They're not great, to be honest. But this network, you know, I've been struggling to get listeners to my podcast, you know, for several years. We landed on Podcast Detroit, and on day one, we got clicks. And I said, Mark, we got clicks. Someone's listening. He's like, well, that's
– I'm not going to lie. Like, that's one of the really cool things that we do hear from people is that, like, just by, like, putting a show out, they'll get, like, 60 to 100 listeners, especially the first few from people that are just exploring and seeing what else we have.
And Bob, who I recently called Dave.
tell him, Bob Dave.
You tell him, Bob Dave.
Bob Dave Harry.
Yeah, I like to drag him. But anyway, but we met, we were at the Shatner Show.
Sat next to each other.
Yeah. And I brought my mom for her birthday, which was a pseudo birthday present for myself, but it was also one for her. I got her front row tickets to see William Shatner.
And I knew exactly who you were when you said it. I'm like, oh my God, it's the ring announcer guy from Squirt.
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember getting the poke. Hey, you know who that is?
Yeah. And we sat down, and we were the only two that were egotistical enough to talk to each other while William Shatner was talking in front of us. And I was like, oh, this guy's onto something when you told me about the network. And then I went back. I checked out the network, and I'm like, well, there's all these great shows. And lo and behold, I was like, I gotta get aboard this thing. This is something good going on here in Detroit.
It's fun.
I have a long commute for my daily job, and I love podcasts, and I love the podcast that you guys are putting out. And I was like, maybe I could find something to create some content with Jim. And
but I'm not gonna lie, it's apparent. Jim's got either a radio background. He's just a complete natural because, like, you know, you got the voice.
But I hubba hubba a lot.
Yeah, but no. When I listen to the show, I'm like, I'll be damned if this doesn't sound like a nationally produced syndicated.
It's polished.
Like it sounds, and I'm not buttering your bread. I wouldn't tell you otherwise.
Well, it ain't my bread. It's Jim's bread. I'm the amateur. He's the pro.
He needs everything he can get. He's a year older.
Right. Damn Joe Rogan.
And looks like Joe Rogan.
Right. But no, it's phenomenal. And you guys, I think you're witty as hell. And then, you know, between that, it's a fun listen. Like, it's it's better than three quarters of the crap that's on regular radio.
Right. Well, one of the things I thought that would be
probably more than that
fun for your listeners to listen to is all of the great stuff going on in Detroit. I mean, right now, let's not fool ourselves. Detroit is having a renaissance. They called it the Renaissance City in the 80s, and that may or may not have been true.
They were early, a little early with that.
But right now, there's like a serious renaissance going on in Detroit. And I want to capture some of the voices and people who make that happen. I mean, like, we've had Davi from the Electric Six and Smalls. We've had Tara from Gus and Gray's Artisan Jams. We recently had Jeremy Yagoda, who is the son of Marvin of Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum.
So let's stop there real quick.
Yeah, that was, for me, that was a good one.
What a blast.
That's one of my really close friends was very tight with Marvin. He brought Marvin into the digital age when Marvin said no. Because if you and this place, apparently, I want to say Eminem, it's one of his like favorite places to go and just to kind of escape. And if you've never heard about it or seen this place, I'm not gonna lie, I've never been there. I'm so ashamed of myself for never taking my children there.
I wasn't there. I've never been there until I went with Mark last week, and I felt like a schmuck for not having been there before because I love pinball.
Yeah, I know Jim loves pinball, and I know he appreciates that.
But this isn't a pinball place. This
as
is
heavily involved as Mike was with him, how did you never get there? I've been there.
Mike told me to go. He invited me at least 30 times, and I never made it there.
Well,
I'm ashamed of myself for not going.
Well, let me just tell you, we had the interview lined up, and Jeremy was awesome. He's great. It's going to probably publish tomorrow.
Oh, no, it's already out.
Okay, great. And he, to call it an arcade is not enough. To call it a place where there's you can put a quarter in and you get some coin-operated, you know, entertainment, that's not enough to describe what's going on over there. Like, it's an actual museum. It is to the pinball arcade in Las Vegas what Henry Ford is to something much bigger.
It's stuff you would expect to see like in the arcade at like Cedar Point in like the 1940s.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Right. There's stuff
like the old
in there
Atlantic
that
City Boardwalk.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
And you can
the Zoltan. Yeah. You know,
you can go there with zero quarters in your pocket, and you can have a great time just looking around and appreciating what's going on. And that's one of the things about Detroit that makes this a great region, and why we choose to live here, and why we choose to, you know, set up shop. I mean, Detroit is full of these wonderful places that are completely unique to the rest of the world, not just the country, but the world. And Marvin's, I think, is one of those places that captures it perfectly. And I really wanted Jim to go there, witness it for himself before we interviewed Jeremy, the son of Marvin, so he would know exactly what I'm talking about when I say it's beyond, it's a sensual thing. Like, you walk in, you look up, there's stuff going on. You look right, there's stuff going on. You look left, it is a sensory overload. And Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum is one of those places.
Do you think he faulted in where he put it? Like, if this thing would have been closer to the border or in Midtown or in, let's say, Ferndale, Royal Oak.
Well, that's tough because Marvin was the original Marvin was a pharmacist. And he had a pharmacy. Yeah, in the city, like by Old Redford. And he closed it down 2 years ago, 2 years before he passed away. I mean, he just recently passed away. So obviously, he had that space, and he set that space up with Defender and all these games that paid out to be there. But his real passion was for these machines that were a little bit more. They were a little bit more interesting. And if you fast forward maybe 10 years, I would think that a Marvin that doesn't exist right now may have put it in Midtown. But at the time, I wouldn't have put it there if I was him.
Think back to Detroit 2 to 5 years ago. Would you have put something like that downtown?
Ferndale-ish, I would have.
Well, yeah. But not downtown.
No.
That's, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Detroit lover. My parents are still in Detroit. In the home I grew up in, and I still have a passion for the city, but I understand like why you maybe wouldn't do that. You know, times are changing, but You know, if all things were equal, I would not do it.
So, I mean, you know, so it was your first visit there. Like, what jumped out at you? Like, what blew your mind the most as you were walking around?
Well, I'm a pinball nut, so the pinball row is the first thing that grabbed my eye, because not only does he have most of my favorite machines from the 80s and 90s, but they're in immaculate shape. They've been beautifully maintained, and they look like they just came out of the crate. That grabbed me right away, because where can you go to play pinball anymore?
Yeah.
You know, there's – if you love – like, and like I've owned pinball machines at my home before, but I like to go out to play. You know, it's like go out. There's other people. Mark and I ran into some other pinball nerds, and we struck up a conversation. It's just cool to have – you know, I can't afford to have 30 games at my house. So we got to play Adam's Family and Medieval Madness and, you know,
Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Star Trek. I mean, it was fantastic. You can't do that at home. I love the experience, and there just isn't anywhere to go anymore. Marvin's is a one of a kind sort of mecca for this sort of thing.
So, and then obviously the corollary to that, so like what. If people haven't listened to the show from yesterday yet, what came out in the interview that was you know, a good interesting tidbit or a good note that, you know, came across?
Well, Jeremy talked about his dad. You know, his dad had this vision and he had this passion. And even though his wife didn't like the fact that he kept all these junky machines around the house, and his son, who grew up and went into business, was like, you know, hey, Dad, I think you need to move into modern times and let go of this. And his dad was like, no. He had a singular vision. He never let anybody push him off the track, and it is an enormous success. And lots of, you know, because he was doing the kind of thing where people will go, you know, come on, what are you doing? This is nuts. You already work 7 days a week as a pharmacist. You're keeping all this junk around the house, and everyone's got a
podcast network.
And he had an instinct about people, and he said, look, this is fun, and it's the kind of fun the whole family can have. And he goes, and I am going to keep this thing vibrant by getting one of a kind machines. He says, I'm not just going to have the games that everybody else has. I'm going to go out of my way to get the coolest crap I can find, one of a kind, unique stuff, and people will come. And they did.
Yeah. And still now do. Now he's at one of a kind. I mean, it's one of a kind from 1938.
Yeah.
Like, there's one existing machine. And it's there. He didn't buy it and set it up for 50 cents a play or a quarter a play because that was profitable. He did that because he knew that that machine being there would bring other people in.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one with it, because it's the only one that exists. And there's so many different things like that at Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum. I mean, they've got stuff that's like medical machinery. You put a quarter in it, and there's a hose that you put on your back, yeah. And it massages you, and it makes you better. It doesn't make you better, but you know what? It does.
But all the
I don't know, Mark. It made you smile. Well, it made you smile. I saw you.
You just like slapping that thing on my back, Jim. But that made you smile. I was not very happy with the whole thing. But I mean, like, there's all these things that are one of a kind, and they may have never been produced more than once.
Yeah.
And he also has items that were new, and they show off all of the gears. You know, like you've got. Leonardo da Vinci created animatronic lions.
Yep.
You know? And you've got the what was it, the Chess Turk or something mm-hmm. like that? And it was an automatronic
automatronic, yeah.
Hey, thank you. It was a Turkish man that was a robotic thing that played chess, and people were amazed by it. Well, the moves were all done by a person underneath.
Yeah.
But the actual movements were very much real and done, you know, done by gears. And he has stuff that it's all exposed. The gears are exposed. You see how it happens. So he's not trying to fool you. He's not trying to say, like, this is a magic man from, you know, from Turkey.
Right.
He's not trying to say anything like that. But he has bought specifically, Marvin did, he bought machines that you could see how all these things work, and it's beautiful to see. There's so many different gears. There's so many different levers going on, and to me, that's an awesome thing. It's really cool to see how all these things operate and work naked. And there's not only does he have that, but he puts mirrors behind it. So you put a quarter in it, you check it out, and you can see all the gears turning. You can see them coming up and down, and you can see how it makes the figures above move. And
you can watch the torture that took place during the Spanish Inquisition in miniature.
Right,
right.
Or you can see a man vomit from too much alcohol. I mean, it's got it all.
Yeah.
But for me, like as a nerd who appreciates those kind of things, where analog meets digital, there's nothing better.
Well, yeah, because just specifically that whole the Turk chess machine was something that back in the day was like a. You know, Barnum and Bailey, you know, P.T. Barnum circus thing. It was it was the mysteries of the Orient coming over in, and, you know, and they didn't tell you there was a guy under the table that was doing stuff. But I mean, just, yeah, watching that machine work, I mean, blew people's minds back in the day.
And just the machine working, I think, is interesting.
Oh, it's still amazing. But yeah.
It's still amazing because you think about it, it's 500 years ago. They also have stuff from P.T. Barnum where they have it's a giant who's maybe 11 feet tall. His whole bust is 11 feet tall. And it's been aged with acid. And it's no longer a museum piece because it's
it's a hoax.
Yes. It's a total hoax. So at one time it was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We have this giant petrified. Yeah. And now it's a museum piece because it's, oh my God, this hoax people bought.
Yeah.
You know, and there's all these kind of things over there at Marvin's. And it was so great to have Jeremy
come
in.
People were dumb in the olden days.
Well, you know, it's funny. We talked to him about that because we look at this stuff and we kind of laugh at it. And I said, Jeremy, was this stuff funny in the 30s? And he goes, oh no. Because people were truly taken aback by these things. He goes, you got to remember, there was no TV. There was no internet. There wasn't even much radio at the time.
There was no Snopes.
No scraper. No gloves. No jacket.
Yeah.
And so people, you know, and especially during that time in history, it was the Dust Bowl. Man, there was nothing to look at.
Yeah.
And if you could bring something interesting to look at, people would flock and pay a nickel just to peep it for a while.
Could anyone make that stuff today? I'm just wondering, like... Because you think it's almost like watchmaking, the intricate, like with the gears and the levers and all that.
Right.
Is there anyone that could even – I'm sure there's people that are good with, you know.
Well, Marvin has some newer pieces. They're not as elaborate as the old ones, and all of them have the gears exposed. But the motivation is much different.
I was about to say, is there a market for that anymore, though? I think kids these days want flashy. They want – you know, the newest and most crazy, like even pinball machines and a lot of arcades have gone like, go to Dave and Buster's and it's all just stupid electronic shit.
Well, that's what's
why fun. Doesn't Dave and Buster's, sorry, Mark, but why doesn't Dave and, I never understood, but they don't have that. There's always that one back wing.
Yeah, the retro alley.
Why don't they have a retro alley? Like with, just give me Miss Pac-Man and Galaga and I'll be gone. You won't see me for a half an hour.
I can go nuts on this because Dave and Buster's, they have one 60-in-1 machine. It's like one machine that looks halfway decent. You put a quarter in it, and you can play Galaga. You can play Pac-Man in it. And it's just not the same. You want that real tactile feeling. Like when you want an actual Pac-Man. You want an actual Miss Pac-Man.
There was one in
that tabletop.
Tabletop. There's nothing better at like Mama Rosa's Pizzeria with a tabletop Pac-Man and like loaded with Cokes and like pizza.
Yeah,
and, like,
smeared with grease all over the – yeah.
Exactly. I remember in Orlando, I don't know if we're at Disney or Universal – but there was an actual retro arcade, and it was free. And they had a Tron machine.
Bye, kids.
Yeah, I'm like, they had a Tron machine. I go, if you guys don't see me like in 2 hours, I'll be right here. Like, I'm not. That was the best. That was my favorite, and I couldn't leave.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tron is one of those games. Like, you can get, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, you can have MAME. You can emulate these things.
Oh, yeah.
But Tron is one.
Not.
Tron is one you can't emulate because it's got a four-way joystick with a trigger here and a spinner. So, like, your mouse does not satisfy that spinner situation. Your four-way keyboard certainly doesn't.
Well, it's like playing Centipede with a joystick. No.
Trackball. Yeah.
Totally.
Absolutely. And there's certain games that you can only get your fix on if you have the upright machine designed as it is. I mean, you can't play
with the cigarette burns on the side.
I don't mind the cigarette burns.
You had to have those. That was what brought them together.
No, that lets me know that it's played in. It's,
sure.
You know, I want to set a high score on a machine that has cigarette burns.
Mm-hmm.
Not on, you know, not on my computer.
And the top three names are ass, sex, and God.
Right. Oh, right.
Not when I'm done. Not when I'm done.
F-U-Q.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so cool. So so when do we hear, when is Mustard Onions live? Like, how do people find it? Not that I don't know the answers, but yeah, go.
Sunday nights, it's live. Sunday evenings at 5 o'clock.
Yep. Next Sunday evening, we're going to have Jeremy from PiSci. He's going to come in, and you might be interested in coming in because he's going to bring some pizza pies and show us what he does. He does a real cool business in Woodbridge where he makes very, very awesome pizzas. Like, it's not just, you know, Supino's is great. They make a great, like, standard pizza. Little Caesars makes a great pizza. They all make a great pizza, but they make specific pizzas to scientific wackiness.
And interesting.
I'm going off the rails here a little bit with that. But Jeremy's a great guy, and he makes Detroit great, in my opinion.
Awesome.
And you'll see him this Sunday, 5 p.m., and every Sunday at 5 p.m.
How do we follow on social?
Oh, we're at Mustard Podcast on both Twitter and Facebook.
Cool.
So.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Guys, appreciate hanging out with us. I got to go to Marvin's next week. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, please.
You'll have
do.
A blast.
I'm ashamed I've never been there.
Yeah, but it's got something for everybody.
No, absolutely. So are we going to end? Are we done?
Yeah, we can wrap.
We are going to end episode 180 with a bang. Thank you for listening on behalf of myself, Bob, and Dave, and Nuri. Appreciate the time spent with us. Thank you to our sponsors, HostGator and Fellows with an ES. This has been episode 180 of the IT and the D Show. And do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan! What is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the cheese. Owns. 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 Owns.
Bear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? No! Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass, go home, unplug, get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.